Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Bob Chappelle. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for joining us. We know these are challenging times and that you are working hard to manage your way through this crisis. We're working to provide you information and resources that will help you through today's challenges. A few notes about our call. It's muted today because of the large number of callers, but we will take questions by email. If you will email those to bob@mobilechamber.com, pretty simple, bob@mobilechamber.com. We'll monitor those and try to get our guests to help answer those during the call. If not, we'll post the answer at a later point this morning. Of note, this call is being recorded. It will be put to all of the Chamber's social media channels a little bit later today, and so that you can re-listen and you can share accordingly. Our guest today is Abe Harper. Abe is president of Harper Technologies. Abe, welcome.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for having me.
We are glad you're with us, Abe. Give us a little bit of background on your company and what you all do and the importance in today's light of today's working environment that we have.
Absolutely, absolutely. Harper Technologies is what we like to call a concierge culture IT services firm. We really focus on three specific areas of IT, and that's managed services, infrastructure services, and data services, which includes cybersecurity, forensics, and off-site backup. So, with where everything stands today, and as times evolve, and we're literally seeing the world underneath this change, those first and latter pieces are becoming significantly important, the managed services and data services pieces.
Yeah, as you said, these are changing times. We talked a little bit earlier before we started this recording, and the state of the industry, we really probably weren't ready for the work-at-home demands that we have right now, were we?
No, we weren't. We weren't. And that's what makes it so much of a privilege for me to be able to kind of spend a little time talking with you guys today and sharing just a kind of a 30,000 foot in some respects, and then a 10 foot view of where we are and where we're going, because it's changing. As you know, you hear the word a lot, fluid. And this is a very fluid situation, and there's no playbook written on this one right now, unfortunately.
And you wanted to comment about the infrastructure, remote working, cybersecurity. Talk about that and what our listeners ought to be paying attention to at this point.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, it's no secret that we were grossly, as a global society, underprepared for this pandemic. And what we do know is that it's forced us to become really creative in some of the ways that we maintain business continuity. But we've got to be cautious in how we do that, because we've got to adhere to all these social distancing, self-quarantine recommendations by the CDC and WHO, but also stay-at-home orders. The IT industry is not unlike very many other industries, and it's being stretched to the max. There's always been an emphasis in the IT industry of balancing customer contact, because you are, especially in the service-based business, fluid in how you go to and deliver services with mandated operations for hardware or repair of assets. And then you've got to balance that service side as well for delivering or increasing remote access for companies, because they're also navigating a new chapter of their lives. Digging into the infrastructure piece, Bob, I want to hit on a few points and talk through kind of a couple of areas that I'm hoping the callers today will find valuable. And obviously one of those is an industry update. The second of those is kind of an infrastructure overview for anyone on the call that might be an owner or an executive. And then the last one and a half will be security for the local at-home users, and then kind of an overview of etiquette and how the world is changing as we know it for teleworking and everything that comes along with it. But, CISO, Cybersecurity and Information Infrastructure Security Agency, for a point of comfort for the callers, names information technology as a component of its critical infrastructure sectors. So what that basically means is that we're in it for the long haul. They talk about mechanisms that deliver hardware, communication and infrastructure to businesses to help them sustain, and they don't name that as a segment of a excusable infrastructure during this crisis. And Bob, before I go any further, you did want to, I think, share an email address for people to send questions in. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll remind everyone, bob@mobilechamber.com. Pretty simple. If you have questions for Abe during the call, please email those to me, and we will certainly share the response back to you. Thanks, Abe.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, well, I want to pick back up here. Today's conversation really is not going to be about how we got to where we are. It's going to be a lot more about where we are and where we're going. COVID-19 has really just kind of shifted everything on its head. It sucks the air out of every room that you're in. It's very reminiscent to those in the Mobile area of a familiar project about a bridge that happened about a year ago. So we're still kind of learning. Even me on this call is kind of weird because it's a no-feedback environment versus, you know, having a one-to-one interaction or even a one-to-a-room interaction with people. Technology is no different. There's an increase right now in the industry of a number of things, and I want to give kind of a top-down view of that so that everyone kind of knows what to expect. But first and foremost, on everybody's radar, U.S. Attorney Scott Brady kind of shared a conversation with Forbes recently, and some of these links I'll share with the chamber to publish out so you guys can kind of go back and read it on your own. But you know, he said the closest analogy of the kind of fraud that we're seeing that surrounds COVID-19 is the kind of fraud we saw during Hurricane Katrina. And he predicts that there's going to be a significant wave of cyber attacks and cyber fraud that increases. And that's ultimately, from the information technology sector, what we're trying to prepare partners and public for. So where are we now? Right now in the industry, if you haven't already experienced it, whether you're a user or whether you're a business owner and you're trying to provide mechanisms for your people, there is significant constraint. You've got hardware vendors that are really double-tapped at this point for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons being that they effectively were in the middle of a process upgrade for Windows 10 that was mandated by Microsoft. And resources for laptops and processors and hard drives and RAM were in very, very high demand. And now you've introduced a new paradigm where people are working remote, so there's been a double down, effectively, of requests for laptops, which means that those same resources that were already going out for refresh cycles are being constrained. Well, what does that mean for the industry and for users and consumers? If you place an order for an asset or a laptop, there's a possibility that there could be a little bit of a delay. There's a possibility that the distributors, especially the ones that are displaced from the U.S., could take a little longer to get that asset to you so that you can actually begin working. So looking forward as we stand right now, if you think that you're going to be a telework presence office, or if you think that you're going to go to a model where your infrastructure is working over a VPN or a cloud-based infrastructure, by all means, go ahead and start making preparations to acquire those hardware assets now, because you can very easily find yourself needing them and not having access to them. Second thing I want to talk about, and I've heard a lot of conversation around this one, is the infrastructure constraints on bandwidth delivery. I've had conversations, and even Bob and I shared this earlier today, is that it seems a lot of times around the middle of the day, there are just a slowdown. Things just kind of grind to a halt. You might be having a conference call if you're doing a Zoom meeting or a WebEx or a Cisco meeting or something to that effect, and you get a jitter, you get a latency in it. And you've got to realize that most of the infrastructure that was designed by ISPs, especially if you're working from a best effort environment, which is a home environment, that's not a guaranteed bandwidth in most cases, was never designed to operate at 100% of the time. That infrastructure, they have what's known as an SLA or a service level agreement where that infrastructure is allowed to operate at a less than promised number and still be within parameters and still be within delivery. So do know that that's a possibility, and we'll talk a little bit more in the customer use segment about what you can do to mitigate that in your home and how you can help to overcome that. Next item on the infrastructure, kind of state of the infrastructure, if you will, there's been a noticeable delay in the tech response from a lot of ISPs and MSPs delivering physical services. And I think I've even heard it in other sectors too. Social distancing makes it not just awkward, but also makes it difficult from a delivery standpoint to put a person in front of another person to solve a problem, whereas before we didn't have to worry so much about those boundaries of 6 foot and cross-contamination. And I'll give you guys a little more in a little while about what Harper Tech is doing and how that looks to us and how we're actually fighting back against that. But know that a lot of your service industry businesses, your ISPs that typically would send someone out to install or repair your internet at your home, your cable service providers even, are fighting against a massive unknown when they come out to help you. And they don't want to risk getting their employees sick and also passing that down their chain of communication internally. So they're having to kind of navigate that as well, and that's going to be an ongoing that we'll see for a while. Where I want to land and kind of talk about for a few minutes, though, is the cyber piece of everything. Firewall and security appliances are climbing in price little by little. The availability is dwindling, and that really applies to the corporate models for your client-to-site VPN setups. And the reason is that a lot of your users and owners have become aware that, if I have to use a word for them, the bad guys on the world stage, the bad actors, are becoming more aggressive in their tactics and their attempts. And I think it's worth a pause here to say that the inevitable IT comedy of the year is that there's already a computer virus out that has been named the coronavirus. And for those that are wondering, no, there's no vaccine for this one yet, and yes, we are actively looking for a way to eradicate it. But it is a component of ransomware that piggybacks in to your computer as a phishing attempt and will effectively steal your online passwords and encrypt all of your data. I'll share in my links that I share with the chamber exactly how that happens and what that looks like, because there's no way in this call I can dig into all of the metrics of it. But what I want to highlight and underscore for everyone listening is that if you get infected by this virus, the digital version of the coronavirus, there's a very significant impact that you need to go through and change all of your online passwords and any banking information. You need to notify them because you have been compromised. So, you know, it's kind of I guess you call it a little bit of an irony to it, but the bad guys really, you know, they don't take a break during this. So what we've seen lately is that there's been a tremendous number of increase in fraudulent emails that specifically use baseline keywords. Even the World Health Organization has been a victim of a cyber attack already. The Department of Human Health and Health Services, Health and Human Services, were compromised with a redirect page that led people out to another site so that the information they were receiving was incorrect and they were victims of a malicious code. And you would think that in some standard that humanity would have a little bit of a pause right now and say, okay, we're not going to attack organizations that are actively trying to help people or trying to prevent things from being impaired. Truth of the matter is that, you know, there was a reach out from a well-known resource, and they actually contacted several of the hack agencies that are known around the world, reached out to kind of a consortium of them to ask them, you know, can we agree to have, if you will, a peace during this time where health organizations are not attacked, because hospitals historically have always been one of the biggest targets of ransomware and cyber attacks. Well, on March 18th, you get, you know, and I'll share this link with everyone, there's a promise from several of the organizations, the hacker organizations, that come back and say, oh, yeah, well, we won't encrypt data that relates to healthcare organizations, because it could affect lives. This is more than about money. This is something that could impair and kill people. March 20th, they encrypt the entire data of a COVID-19 vaccine test center and mandate an immediate amount of ransom to get that data back. So there's really no honor among thieves. That's where we land. Talking a little bit to the infrastructure owners and the executives on the call, one of the things I want you all to be aware of and something to think about as this digs in a little bit further is, in your office, if you're deploying a VPN or you're deploying a remote work opportunity, make sure that you've got your critical assets protected. And what I mean by that is that you have a VPN with a demilitarized zone or a DMZ that creates a proxy tunnel into your network for your remote workers. What you don't want is a remote worker having access directly to your primary operating network, and that remote worker then becomes infected and takes down the rest of the network, because at that point, you've lost all of your operating efficiency for your network from the top down. Another key point, I mentioned earlier that we were in the middle of this Windows 10 upgrade right now, and that's a mandate by Microsoft. Effectively, it was early January that Windows 10 was supposed to be implemented. Windows 7 and prior should have been gone. And that also applies, I believe, to Windows Server 2008 and prior. There's a lot of vulnerabilities in Windows 7 and older, and it's worth a mention that if you have not already done that, again, with the constraints on delivery of assets, you want to go ahead and begin moving yourself forward to create the next generation of hardware and have your employees and your teams working on stable, secure hardware that has the latest patches, the latest updates, and that they're up and operational. On your VPN, also it's a noteworthy piece to talk about either having extremely secure passwords that are required for changes frequently, or having what's known as multi-factor authentication, or MFA. You want something that doesn't allow somebody to guess a password or get a password and then just be able to run away with access to your network data. For anyone that's ever sat in on a conversation with me before, you'll know that I'm really big on backups, and this is no exception. This is the time to double down on your backups, not to slack off. So, but my rule, and I've always said it, is 3 copies, 2 different locations, at least 1 off-site. And, you want to have a backup. You want to have your information where if something does happen, you've got a quick responsiveness to it. Because if people are working from home, they've already become familiar with a different environment. So maintaining operating efficiency is key, but maintaining an operating morale is really kind of top of the line as you build this out for your team. On the security side, for the users and at home, that slowdown that Bob and I talked about earlier, we've got to remember that the way that we're designed, we're a smart society. And by that I mean that we're comfortable with, a lot of people have cut the cable, so to speak. So you've got Apple TVs, Roku's, devices at home. You've got your laptop running. You've probably got kids playing on tablets if you have children. So as you start this work from home process, there are 2 things that are really key in that. Number one is having a great secured router in your home, and this doesn't mean buying the same level of equipment that your corporate office would have, but a good Netgear or Linksys Nighthawk router or one of their E600 series from Linksys. Those routers are more than capable in the home environment. If you've got one of the older Apple AirPort Extreme routers, those are my personal favorite, and I kind of still stick to those. But you want to have something that can, A, handle all the devices internal to your home. You don't want to have something that's just I hate to say it, but an industry-provided or a service provider-provided wireless router. Number 2, you want to make sure that you've got your passwords on all of your networks, including the guest network at this point. Because if you're working from home, your neighbors are working from home, if their internet goes down and your network is not protected, the first thing they're probably going to do is what? Jump on your network. So you really don't want to allow them to have that option if you're not familiar with who's on and what's going on. During the daytime, you know, and this is what I've encouraged my employees and what I've encouraged our team, treat what you're doing as your prime objective. If you've got TVs, you've got assets that are running in the background or things that are operating, they're using bandwidth. You don't have an infinite amount of bandwidth, so as many devices as you can shut off will probably make sure that that Zoom meeting that you're having doesn't start to look like a kaleidoscope while you're talking to someone, and that you won't lose connectivity while you're doing that. The second side is, for those of you that are working from home, if your employer provided you a VPN to use, try to refrain from leaving that VPN connected just for the sake of having it online, because they may have a finite number of licenses and they may have a finite amount of bandwidth. And if you're not actively working at that moment, having that VPN is going to do three things. Having it up and running is going to do three things. Number one, it's going to compromise their security if you get breached. Number two, it's going to lower the likelihood that someone else is able to use it if there's a limit on users. And number three, it's going to inherently use bandwidth as it operates. And last but not least, on the home front, do have a good antivirus, anti-malware system. You know, that's having your computer protected if it's touching the remote infrastructure is absolutely, positively key. You don't want to be the person that takes the entire office down, especially not remotely, and your IT team will be able to come back and kind of track that out. So, you know, with those key points, there's one last thing I want to share that that I think is relevant to say. There is a significant increase that's going to come in cybercrime, ransom, business confidence fraud emails, and CEO compromise attacks. We've already seen it. As the stimulus package prepares to roll out, you're going to get a bunch of emails that allude to how do you get your stimulus checks, and they're going to look like emails that talk about a boiled-down copy of what the package looks like. Don't be necessarily skeptical, but be aware. Know that there are bad actors that want your information, that want to get into you, into your computer, and steal what you've got or find some way to monopolize on the situation. Obviously, if you've got an IT consultant, speak with them first and ask them, you know, hey, is this legitimate? What should we be looking for? How, and kind of draw a plan and a strategy of response to cybercrime. But number two, if you're kind of on your own or if you're a business owner and you suspect a cybercrime, there's a website I want to share. And I'll send this out with the links as well, but it's ic3.gov. That's I as in ice, C as in Charlie, 3.gov. And effectively, that's the Internet Crime Complaint Center. That's where the FBI houses and aggregates most of the data for crimes and then reacts to it accordingly. And it's a really good resource, and the more information they have, the better they can react to it. So, Bob, I promised you I'd give you 15 minutes and then kind of step back to ask if there were any questions or any follow-up conversation. And then, you know, I want to honor that and be respectful of everyone's time as well.
You've shared some great information, Abe. Talk to me a little bit about, let's delve just in the last few minutes we have. You mentioned etiquette and the maybe even as it relates to latency, the tendency might be to have meetings with teams much earlier than normal or perhaps later than normal, trying to avoid the bubble of congestion that might be in the network. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, communication is key. You know, we're socially distant, but we don't have to be socially irresponsible during this thing. As you stagger your times for meetings, the only thing that I've advised or I can be aware of is that, you know, not everybody is a 9 p.m. or 2 a.m. owl like I am. There really are no specific rules if your team as a collective is able to house and accommodate that meeting during that time frame. The peak hours of the day, I think, seem like peak hours because as the business day gets rolling and everyone is, for example, if you're in a best effort community or best effort network circuit, I don't want to call any service providers' names, but there's certain service providers in that area that house entire communities, and they share bandwidth as they come in. you got to remember the more people that are on during that time frame, the less available bandwidth and the more likely there are for collision. Number one, knowing your service provider, and I'm available for offline conversations on some of these if they come available or if they become an issue, is key. And then number two, knowing your community, knowing how the people around you work inside of your neighborhood or your residence, that's relevant because that dictates how much available bandwidth you have during that time. One thing else I'd like to touch on, too, if you have a cellular device and it has a hotspot on it, don't be shy about using that if your home internet doesn't seem to have adequate throughput. The cellular networks in our area have really shown to be extremely robust and good for virtual meetings and transit, whereas the localized networks may have some deficiencies at certain times of the day.
That's great advice, Abe. I'm sure most of us wouldn't have been able to share that point. You know, as we wrap up too, I know you're available and offered that to the listeners on this recording. If there are others of you that are listening, you have a provider, consult with them. And if you don't, find someone that you trust and embrace their technology and their experience to help you manage your way through this crisis. Any other final thoughts, Abe?
I really don't, but, you know, I think we've touched on so much in this. I just want to say thanks to the Chamber for everything you guys are doing to keep the community engaged, keep the business community informed, and continue to share knowledge and keep a personal touch even all the while as we walk through this in a society as a whole. It's not easy times for anyone, I don't believe, but it takes really intentional effort to do that. So thank you for everything that you and the Chamber teams are doing.
Abe, we appreciate your comments. We're having to pivot and learn some new ways of communicating as well. So that's exciting on one hand, but a little stressful as we learn how to do that. Our guest today has been Abe Harper, president of Harper Technologies. This call again was recorded and we will post it on the Chamber's social media channels. Please be on the lookout for that in the very near future. You'll also find the latest sources of assistance related to COVID-19 on our website, mobilechamber.com. And please let us know how we can help. Thank you for your membership in the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce, and we'll see you next time.